best energy drinks, best coaches at coaches shows, best practices, best candies. Like, we get a lot of stuff going on. And that's not even a reference to Cole Best, the Auburn center. It's the Octopod Live Dive, Zach.
Here, yes, happy Friday, everyone.
Here we go. Woo! My boy's birthday today. We're going to have us a little afternoon with his first ever PG-13 movie.
What movie will that be?
That will be Jurassic Park.
That's right.
Like a hardcore PG-13. We're going to, you know.
Why is that movie PG-13? I'm trying to think.
Well, it's got some scary. It's got a little bit of language. It doesn't have the granddaddy that normally brings. Like PG-13 now, you can say the F word once, but no more. That's the official, that's the cutoff. But it doesn't have that. But it's scary. It's scary for 13-year-olds.
Yeah, sure. So. Oh, that'll be fun. I remember watching and being enamored with those movies growing up. So good for him. Be cool for y'all to share that together.
That's exactly right. So I'm looking, we're going to go into the Avengers movies here pretty soon. And
that'll be super fun.
Yeah.
That'll be super fun. I'm super stoked for you. That's great.
Kind of fired up about that. Okay. We will take your questions throughout the show. Just pop those questions up in the comments and we will get to them. I wanted to start with Tiger Talk last night.
I think we should. Alex Gullish was incredible.
The big thing that they got me kind of fired up listening to him talk at Tiger Talk, two things. I brought up small group coaching at practice, because if you've seen practice, they're not, you know, they don't have like eight defensive linemen going one rep at a time. They've got them broken up into groups of two or three. So they're all doing their reps at the same time. And he said last night, I can't stand people standing around. Like, I hate it. I hate people stand. It's one of the things I hate the most. So you talk about being intentional about practice, Zach. This guy doesn't want anybody standing around.
Well, you see that when you watch the quarterbacks throwing to skill players against air. They've got three quarterbacks going at once and three receivers running routes, and they're all getting, you know, that rep done at the same time. And then it's quick for all those quarterbacks to go again because there's three more receivers sprinting up to the line. It's a very up-tempo practice, no question about it.
And from top to bottom, because I think when Gus got here, you saw the offense practice that way. You saw multiple reps happening at the same time at different first team, second team, third team. That's great. They're making the most out of practice. A fast-paced offense is going to do that. But the defense is doing it too. And I think that says it's just he's not going to waste time. He's not going to leave any time that could be used getting something done wasted by just standing around.
Yeah, I mean, we see that with offensive line. It's usually four guys going at once. Yeah. Or there's four guys ready to go, and they go two and two. It's like, all right, you guys go. They coach up that rep. You two go. By the time we're done coaching up that rep, there's a new two here.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's happening. And then on the defense, they're broken up. I like how you phrase that, small group coaching, because it's more specified on defense. Like, it's just the defensive tackles. It's just the edge. And sometimes the edge room's even broken up into D end and buck.
Yeah.
And then same with the safeties and the corners. Sometimes they're all together. Sometimes they split up. So yeah, no, I think that's a good observation for sure.
The second thing is related to that. He got into talking about the defense and what to expect from the defense this year. And he said you're going to have an aggressive defense, because if you're going to have an aggressive offense, it only makes sense to have an aggressive defense. And he said to play a bend but don't break style with this defense and with the offense we have would be insane. So, I mean, you know, we've hailed, and there are spots when bend but don't break works. That ain't his philosophy. Yeah. He is not bend but don't break. You're going to see, I think you're going to see pressure. I think you're going to see blitzes. You're going to see the way the corners and safeties play. They're going to play aggressive and assertive on that side of the ball. How much of a change is that from what we've seen? the last couple of years. How much of a difference does that make? I don't know, but I like the head coach having that attitude.
Yes, I do too. I do too. You know, we've talked about this before. Like, it's very clearly different. All of these different aspects of this is different. How things are done, why things are done, to the extent things are done, why things are said, you know, what exactly is being said, how they're saying it. It's all different.
Yep.
And because it's different and, you know, different from what didn't go well, you know, we assume it's good. I think it's good. But until it translates to wins, like, we're just speculating at this point. But
sure,
it's checking all the boxes so far, right? They can't play a game right now, so we have to take a guess. And I think it being different so far is a good thing.
Look, the main course is wins and losses. We got that. The appetizer, the salad, whatever comes before the main course, that's all we have right now. So far, so good. We like it so far. That's a good thing. Big Bang Brad said, never liked the bend, don't break mentality. Well, it's not that mentality anymore, apparently. So,
yeah, we'll see.
I talked to him a little bit in a break because I'd mentioned that I'd been to practice. And in one of the breaks, he asked Andy, all right, you went to practice. What did you think? And Andy told him what he thought. And then he looked to me in another break. He goes, so you went to practice? Yes, sir. What did you think? Well, let me tell you. So I thought it was interesting that he, like, I think that's part of his relating to people. Oh, you're at practice? What'd you think? It ain't going to change the way that he runs practice, but he's relating to people.
What if you were like, you know, I really don't think it's efficient enough. I think you're wasting a lot of time.
I mean, other than all the standing around, Coach, I think it's fine.
Yeah, a lot of standing around, Coach.
A lot of standing around.
I guess that's fine.
Not the way it was done before. No. But I mentioned 15 in the edge room, Deshaun Womack. And I liked what I heard about him in that, look, this is it for him. It's his senior year. So he's been a couple different stops in the SEC. He's been okay. He hasn't been the primary guy. But he's like first up taking reps now whenever they run edge drills, and he's hungry. You take a guy with experience and talent and size, and you add some real motivation because this is it for him. This is his last shot. And I think that, like, I'm more excited about the edge. I think I asked you this yesterday or the day before, whether you're felt any differently about the edge room. I feel a little different about the edge room. Hearing about Deshaun's motivation for this year.
Yeah, I'm not there with it. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Deshaun Womack is incredible. I hope he's awesome.
Yep.
I have a hard time seeing him being like this elite SEC edge guy.
Yep.
But then the question is, like, does he need to be an elite SEC edge guy to do that job? And I don't know the answer to that because it's not like there's multiple options here.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, like, I hope Jared Smith is that guy. It'd be great for Jaquez Wilkes to find a role as a freshman. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Chris Murray.
Yeah.
But I said going, you know, we can have takes and then we'll get more information and then pivot from the takes. Yeah. One that I don't think I've pivoted from, I said it a lot going into spring. I said it here, I said it on other shows. Was the best case scenario for Auburn in the edge room is Jared Smith becomes a guy we can't stop talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've pivoted from that take yet. And that hasn't happened. Like, we can agree that has not happened.
We
can speculate as to why that hasn't happened. But I still think going into it, the best case scenario for Auburn was for Jared Smith to dominate that room. I stand by that, and that's not happening.
Well, not yet. They've also been through a heavy teaching period of 10 practices. Like, they the conditions for explosive play just haven't been there to this point.
Yeah.
Another element of, like, an edge guy taking over is pressure on the quarterback, and they're not going to let guys pressure the quarterback.
Right. And 100%. And a lot of this has to do with, you know, how Womack is leading as well. Mm-hmm. And after learning more, like, I don't think that's who Jared Smith is, and that's fine. I think that's 100% okay. but I don't think he is going to be the guy to like coach other players. He probably doesn't have the posture to do that yet. I mean, it's his second year in college football. So some of it's that. And then some of it, like, I don't know how vocal he is.
Right.
And once again, like, that's okay. Like, you need leaders, but you can't have everyone be a leader.
Yeah.
So, you know, is there a chance that the lights turn on and they say, pin your ears back and go, and he goes quicker than anyone? Yeah. And that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. And I still stand by that's the best case scenario for Auburn.
Sure. Okay. I don't push back on that. I'm just Sounds like you want to fight about it. No, I don't want to fight about it.
Okay.
I haven't had any energy drinks today. I'm not, you know, I don't want to get into stuff. Although I did have somebody tell me today, like, came up to me at the gym this morning and just like his first word was watermelon C4. That's the play, watermelon C4. He said, but don't drink it too late in the day or you'll tingle. All right. Okay. I buy that. I like the watermelon flavored Celsius.
I've had watermelon C4. It's not the best, but it's good.
Okay.
It's good.
Someone commented yesterday that watermelon, not grape, is the flavor that tastes the least like the name. Whenever watermelon flavored anything, never really tastes like watermelon. I'm all right with that.
I'm cool with that.
Sure.
I'm cool with that. I will say, if you juice a watermelon, I like to juice things. I have a juicer.
Like, oh, look at me. I have a juicer.
I know. It was a splurge purchase too. We got a nice one. We have a nice juicer.
Yeah.
People come over and they're like, wow, look at that juicer. I'm like, oh, no. I know. Wife got it for me for Christmas. Very nice.
Is it the iron one that you like press down and like the old metal ones?
It's all automatic.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right. Should have you over sometime. We just juice things.
That'd be great. I would love to come to a juicing party.
Yeah, that'd be great content too. but if you drink watermelon juice, I think it's closer to like watermelon flavored candy or just flavoring. Okay. But I won't push back on that. I think that's a good take.
Yeah. All right.
Do you want to know what the five best beverages are, Brad? I'll tell you.
You've got the five best, like, all time, any type of. Okay. I've got them
ready. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Number five, chocolate milk.
Oh, you have graphics? You have graphics for this.
Oh, my goodness. I thought about this. All right. So, number five is chocolate milk.
Look at you on top of that cow like a king.
That's right.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on this so far?
It's
with chocolate milk being at five. Do you hate that ranking?
I don't know if you're going to find four better than chocolate milk. I love chocolate milk.
Who doesn't?
I mean,
at any age, it's delicious.
Incredible. And it's good in the morning. It's good at night. It's good in any scenario, chocolate milk is good. So if you're going to find four better than chocolate milk, I'm going to be impressed. I love that you're wearing a Roback in the picture.
Yeah, I think I'm wearing a Roback in all of them. It's just the picture that I used. Yep. All right, number four.
Okay.
Orange juice with pulp. Put as much pulp as you possibly can in the orange juice. Orange juice with pulp is number four.
These pictures are my favorite thing we've done. No.
I told you to buckle up.
Oh, gosh.
I told you to buckle up, Brad Law.
Orange juice with pulp for me is too specific. Like, I need orange juice with pulp if I wake up thirsty in the middle of the night. Otherwise, I'm not really an orange juice person.
10 time gets it. Yes, I'm a pulp person. Non-pulp people are strange. I'm not going to say that they're strange. Oh. So normally pulp is like, no, but the villagers today are like, no, give me the pulp.
Yeah, I'm interested in the sample size because typically pulp is in the minority.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. No, I want my orange juice to have a little bit of girth to it.
I need to floss after drinking orange juice, quite frankly.
All right, so orange juice with pulp.
Yeah.
That's number four.
God bless you, War Eagle G27. He's trying. We'll get to that. We'll come back to that.
Number three.
Yep.
The third best beverage, coffee.
Okay. How do you take your coffee? You go black coffee, cold brew?
Depends on the mood. But if I had to be specific, I'll do like two creams, one sugar.
Okay. All right. I'm not a coffee drinker. I might have coffee twice a year.
Okay. The second best beverage of all time.
Yeah.
C4 Hawaiian Punch.
I can't tell if you're taking a shower or if you're being punched by the Hawaiian Punch flavor. So you put that over coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Look what Jacob says. Jacob says, this is better than the Masters, guys. Keep it up.
Well, I like this one that Miller says, I'm coming around on pulp. Like he's working on it.
Well, look, you have to have an open mind. You have to be able to think critically.
All right, everybody in the chat, what do y'all think number one is? This is pretty obvious. It's pretty clear what number one is.
Is it Skittles C4?
No, it's not active. I should have put a disclaimer. Right. Active available beverages. It's Diet Coke.
Okay. Why are you looking like Scarface? Why are you dressed?
I mean, this is where I am mentally whenever I take that first sip of a Diet Coke.
Say hello to the bad guy, okay? Look at a pelican. Come on, pelican. Listen, my name is Zach, and I got a Diet Coke over here, okay?
Let's go through these one more time. Number five, chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk. Giving me nothing on my Tony Montana because you probably haven't seen Scarface. So, okay. Orange juice, number four.
With pulp. Coffee three,
two.
C4 Hawaiian Punch, two.
Mm-hmm.
Diet Coke.
One Diet Coke. All right.
Thoughts on the whole list, Bradlaugh.
I would put chocolate milk ahead of, I mean, I get it. I understand your list. I would put chocolate milk at least ahead of orange juice with pulp, but I would keep orange juice with pulp rather than no pulp. I would go a Celsius ahead of in place of C4. And I would have to put a half and half tea in there somewhere. My three would be like a half and half tea instead of coffee. And then my number one instead of Diet Coke would just be flat out straight old hydrogen and oxygen water.
Well, I wanted to be clear on this. I didn't ask what your list was. Mm-mm. I asked your thoughts on my list.
Okay. I disagree with many components of your list. I'm not as harsh as you as to call it a trash list because I have some empathy.
What do you think Matt's top five beverages are?
Oh, he told me what his Starburst order was. Do you want me to find it and tell you? Do you care about what his Starburst order is?
If it's the same as mine, this will be my last episode of this show.
Here's Matt's Starburst favorite order. Red, pink, orange, yellow.
Similar. Mine was pink, red, orange, yellow.
You met a couple of friends of mine from Calhoun County yesterday.
Like them more than Matt, I'll tell you that.
Well, what's the first thing that one of them told you? He doesn't like Matt either.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
He poked me pretty hard when that happened, too. It was like a shoulder poke.
Well, he's a strong guy.
Chad
is a strong guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Chad.
Yeah.
A little aggressive in a good way. I liked it. It's like, all right, he wants to be friends. I'm cool with it.
That's funny.
Cool. Great.
All right, you want to get in some basketball stuff? Somebody, yeah. Huh? Yeah. So, Sway is back. Sway has announced this morning he is returning. So, Sway's back. Simon Walker's back. Kevin Overtime is back. That's three backs. Jovic is out. We know that. So, that's one gone. And we still don't know for sure about Elijah Freeman and Tahad Pettiford.
Sounds like, Justin Hokanson has been on this more than anyone, it seems. Yeah. And he feels confident about Tahad. I haven't seen anything that he's posted this morning if he has, but yesterday it seemed like Tahad staying at Auburn was trending that way.
Yeah.
And then kind of saying that Elijah Freeman, that this staff was kind of expecting him to test the market.
Yep.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I would guess, based off of what I've read and some other stuff that I've heard, that Tahad stays and Freeman goes. And I think that there was another school that really wanted Sway.
Mm-hmm.
Really wanted him.
Yeah, like his hometown. Yeah.
I think if you read the tweet of him staying,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a shot in there. I think that was done intentionally by admin.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But if I think him coming back places a significantly less importance on Freeman. Do I want Freeman to come back? Sure. If the money makes sense and Stephen Pearl and the staff think it makes sense, great. Awesome. But I do think if I had to guess right now, Freeman leaves and Tahad stays.
You know, the whole climate of the portal, I think we were up to almost 2,000 players in the portal. And I don't want to rant too much about it because it's the same rant that I've had in the past. Tana J4AU. I don't understand people who don't like milk.
That was like 10 minutes ago. That's hilarious.
Dana just divisive today. The process, because we don't publicize agreements. Okay. So let me just, Zach, you're committed to come back to Auburn.
Yep.
And you have an agent, and your agent contacts another school. And Auburn doesn't know what that conversation was like. But let's say that that other school offers the exact same thing that you're getting right now from Auburn. Your agent goes back to Auburn and says, oh, yeah, they're going to offer 50% more. Well, then now what? Is Auburn going to pay you when they didn't have to? They're going to pay you more when they really didn't have to? Or are they going to take the chance that you walk? And then if they walk, you're going to go somewhere else for the exact same figure or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bad process, but it doesn't really benefit players not to test the market.
It depends on what your goal is, right? Like if your goal is to make as much money as possible, that is true.
I should have said that. I should have led with that.
It's probably implied, but I wanted to specify if that's okay.
Yeah. If your goal is more money, it doesn't make any sense not to test the market.
100%. So.
Now, 100%. For Tahad Pettiford, let's not use figures of what he made or this, that, or the other. So we don't know that for sure. What percentage more would you be willing to pay Tahad this year?
Zero.
Okay.
I mean, not much, right?
So, right. Yeah. I think Tahad is a fascinating case. Because every player and every player's representation, whether it's family or like an agent, they're going to ask for more. They're going to call around. They're going to make some calls. These agents are taking phone calls right now and making phone calls right now to find out what they can get elsewhere to try to drive the price up. So how much percentage-wise are you willing to pay Tahad versus what he got last year? I think if Tahad is back, it's because you've been satisfied with a real commitment you're getting from him, not just from the school to him, but a commitment from him about what he will do next year.
Yeah, Tahad's interesting, too, from the personal level of like trying to think of, okay, where could this kid be coming from? Like his shot at the NBA right now has taken a major blow. Mm-hmm. Major blow. You have to assume he knows that. So then it's like, okay, I can make good money here for another two seasons.
Yeah.
And be remembered among the Auburn basketball greats if he doesn't leave. If he's here for 4 years.
Yeah. Assuming they do what we think they can do, and that's go back to the NCAA tournament, have successful runs.
I don't think it matters, Brad. He's one of the few Auburn Tigers in history to go to a Final Four. He's won the NIT. I mean, there's a chance Tahad graduates at Auburn with the most postseason wins of anyone. That's not a crazy thing. He's on track for it.
Okay. It'd be awfully front loaded. And then if they didn't have a lot more postseason wins in the next year,
I get
to
it.
2 years.
He's going to be up there in scoring. And I mean, just from the volume of it, assists, like he's going to be up there. So, you know, make the money that you can for 2 years and then just be remembered as this legend.
Yeah.
Or among the legends, if you want to like kind of nitpick, but that has to be appealing to him.
Yeah.
Sounds like he likes it here. Sounds like he likes living here. So is it cheaper to get Tahad to stay versus him going somewhere else? Like possibly.
Yeah.
But then the question is, okay, you know, let's assume it's around $2 million. Can you get someone that is guaranteed to be better? I don't know.
For
$2 million. Like I genuinely don't know.
Yeah. I kind of think you can, and that's not necessarily a slide on Tahad as much as it is like, that's what I mean by you got to have a commitment from him.
Let's play this game, Brad. Okay. Let's play this game.
Yeah.
Tahad's the exact same player.
Yeah.
Elsewhere. Same situation, same achievements. He just transferred to Auburn.
Yep.
What are we saying about him?
We're talking about he's a five-star, you know, freshman All-American and
Final Four.
Final Four, sure. Took a dip last year.
He's the only player that came back.
Yeah.
And they brought in somebody else to also be 1A and 1B, and they didn't get along.
Yeah.
Get him away from him now that he's here.
And that's valid. That's valid. I think that is that's maybe the most valid part of the argument, because when I look at the point, if I look at just numbers and I look at the point, like the games where he scored the most, Auburn didn't have a great record. When he scored the least, Auburn's record was fine. It's not to say you don't need him to score. He's got to score. But more than that, he's got to have a better than like 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio as the point guard. He's got to do some things off the court that show your point guard is the leader of your team.
Mm-hmm.
I think at times, as we all are when we're that age and we're learning and we're growing, like at times, he just wanted to play basketball. He can't just want to play basketball. He's got to want to be the leader of the team. So that's I think, a very serious conversation that has to happen as they're talking about whether he comes back.
10-time champ says, I was today years old when I learned UCLA stands for underperforming center leaves Auburn. Of course, Filip Jovic is now a UCLA Bruin.
I met 10-time champion last night, by the way. Met him at
Tiger. Nice guy.
If it's the same guy, if he's changed his name from 9-time to 10-time.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
He changed it to 10 when we won the NIT.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, JD and Courtney, when is the best time to get to 8A for parking, and how are the seats being done? I'll let you answer this one.
I think it's just general admission. I think admission is free, so you just come in and sit on a bleacher seat. And now for parking, I don't know. The game's going to start at 2. There will be some folks who tailgate. It's not going to be a normal game day in terms of tailgating, but I mean, I don't know. That's tough for me to answer. Frankly, I'm not in the game day parking world, so I don't know the best times to get there for
parking. Yeah, I like to get there pretty early and just kind of hang, just kind of vibe. Yeah. So I don't know. If it starts at 2, get there
12.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Reasonable.
I mean, it also depends on like how much do you mind or want to walk, because you could get there at 10:30, walk around, go to lunch somewhere, then walk to the state. Like if you can get in a lot of steps, that would be a good play.
Yeah. So I think it just kind of depends on what you want. But if you want to, I think you getting there an hour before and walk. Yeah. If you wanted like the shortest experience possible, it's probably what I would do.
Yeah. But you're gonna park further away. I mean, parking be a little tougher an hour out.
Right. And it'll start about when you get there. And
yeah.
If you want to leave after, I think some of it depends on what you want, JD and Courtney. Sorry if that wasn't super helpful. Jacob J, let's be honest. Let's talk about Tahad. Yeah. Not giving up Skybar. Sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of student athletes that feel that way.
Yeah. He's not the only guy that goes out. He's not the only player on.
Oh, and when I was at Auburn, I went to Skybar a lot too. Like, I get it.
But now there, to Jacob's point, I think Jacob's kind of echoing the point. There are things as a leader you have to. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. Other times you just have to be wise. So what does being wise look like? Those are the things you have to do, and you do need to see more wisdom of a guy in his third year than in his first or second.
Oh, look at me. I'm Brad Law. I'm not in the game day parking world.
I knew that was going. Look, I was just trying to be honest about it. I can't answer the question knowledgeably.
That's hilarious.
I have a parking pass. I get to put, I'm not even going to be there Saturday. I'm going to be in Gainesville next week. So I really am not even in the game day parking world.
All right, JD responding. 10:30 sounds good. Lunch also sounds good. Where would you walk to eat? I personally
would
walk downtown Auburn, and our favorite is the Draft House. That is where we go the most.
The Taco Rita down there, kind of on North College, is really good as well. I would recommend that.
All right.
Just think, if someone had been a downtown merchant that sponsored this show, we would have pushed them directly to that restaurant right then.
Very strange. Very strange of people to not do that.
Yeah. Do you want an
animal?
Do
we have anybody downtown on buyauburn.com yet?
Well, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Buyauburn.com is the website that you're going to start hearing a lot more about. If you own a business and you're an Auburn fan, you're going to want to utilize buyauburn.com. And if you want to buy from Auburn owned businesses, you want to buy from other Auburn fans, you want to go to buyauburn.com.
It's got all sorts of stuff. Like, I'm just kind of looking through buyauburn.com right now.
Yeah.
Antler boost deer feed. Like, that's so niche, but I love that.
Probably not a good lunch spot. No, but.
No, we don't have any restaurants yet. But, yeah, that's cool. So if you need deer feed, like, support Auburn people while you do it. Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right. Questions, comments, concerns. Yeah. Let us know in the chat.
From early in the chat, when are we partnering with Charles Barkley to be the face of the restaurant? He could be the round mound of Pound Town.
That'd be electric. That would be so electric. Hey.
What do you think his favorite flavor of pound cake is?
Probably traditional pound cake.
Okay. All right. Somebody in the comments yesterday said that they started to back into a spot and then saw you looking at them and they panicked and left the parking spot. That was good.
That was a bizarre thing.
Do you want an animal fact today?
Yes. But real quick, Auburn Brawl Star. Hi, Zach and Brad. Love you guys. You make my days. Thank you, Auburn Brawl Star. Just very thankful for the super chat, but just ZAC, less work. No need to put the K on the end. No need to put a K on the end, but thank you
Auburn
so much.
Brawl Star. That's awesome. I think that's our first interaction with ABS.
I think so. And, welcome to the family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome. A lot of fun. If you have any specific questions or anything like that, Auburn sports related or otherwise, throw them up there. So did you know that sloths can hold their breath longer than dolphins can? Sloths can hold their breath up to 40 minutes.
Interesting.
Okay. I've got one more.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I want to ask something about that, but I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Okay.
Dolphins need to hold their breaths? Can dolphins not breathe in the water?
Dolphins are mammals.
So they have to come up every time to breathe?
Yeah.
What a massive inconvenience that would be.
Well, that's why they can hold their breath for so long. Sloths have no reason to need to hold their breath.
They can't hold their breath for more than 40 minutes? How do they sleep?
Oh, I don't know how dolphins sleep. I don't know that.
But you're the animal fat guy. If they can't hold their breath for 40 minutes, because sloths can hold their breath for 40 minutes longer than dolphins, how does that happen?
They engage in unihemispheric slow wave sleep, Zach, which is really where only half of their brain sleeps at a time while the other half stays awake to make sure they breathe.
Above the water?
Slow wave sleep.
But they're breathing above the water? They're sleeping on the top of the water?
I don't know. All right? I don't know. No, they rest motionless at the surface of the water. It's called logging.
Oh, they log.
They log.
They're logging.
That makes sense. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but that's how dolphins sleep. They log.
Log.
Yeah. With only half of their brain asleep and half awake.
Which is called?
Logging.
But using half of your brain is called?
Yeah. Unihemispheric sleep.
Yeah, so they're unihemispherically logging, if you
will. That's exactly right. It's unihemispheric logging for dolphins because they're not like sloths that can hold their breath longer.
10-time champion odds that Auburn will row the boat versus Kentucky. Talking about baseball.
Lord, I hope so. They need it. Do you not remember what that's referring to?
Rowing the boat? Kentucky did that to us, right?
No. We do this on 2-ball, 2-strike counts.
That's right.
Last year in Lexington, and Jeremy Dupree, the second base umpire, had a conniption over it and told Auburn's dugout to stop. He threw a manager and the closer out of the game. Meanwhile, Kentucky's got a dude dancing on the outside of the dugout. Kentucky dances. They do all kinds. Like, they're a whole personality in a baseball team is the real nice way for me to put that. As we get ready to start the series tonight.
Is that like sleep planking for humans? Yes. Logging. Yes.
Except we don't do it unihemispherically.
That's correct.
Both of our hemispheres are.
Wow. Amazing facts. Thank you, ABS. Thank you. I think you're right.
Auburn Brawl Star has some very calm comments.
Very cerebral.
Brawl. ABS. Yes.
Zach, how surprised was Jake and Blaine when y'all talked about Auburn practices? Did they like what they heard from you? Our whole conversation was posted. I didn't really like talk to them anymore after that. So they seem pretty in tune with what's going on. We just kind of gassed up Byron for a little bit. And then they clipped it and put it on social. And then people just called me a homer the whole time, which is fine.
Who's the best newcomer to Auburn football right now from Hunter 5370?
Byron Brown. Alex Golish.
Way to go out on that limb.
Keyshawn Singleton. Jazz Nimrod.
It's not Shamar Arnaud, apparently.
He's having a tough spring.
Apparently, he's in the doghouse right now.
The number 66 jersey thing is, like, that's pretty savage.
Did you read?
If it's what it looks like, right?
Right.
If it's what it looks like.
Yeah. Did you read any of the Chris Lowe article, his interview with Golish?
No.
And how, all right, so, yeah, Chris Lowe on 3, formerly ESPN, has this back and forth with Golish. And he said to Lowe in the interview, he's like, I told these guys, I met with every guy, I talked to every player, I think, but 4 maybe he didn't talk with. And he said, he told them, you're about to go through some stuff. Only he didn't say stuff. You're about to go through stuff you've never been through before. It is going to be mentally and physically the hardest stuff you have ever had to go through. I think that qualifies.
Right.
That's what they do in the military. They find out what's going to break you. That's what football coaches do. My goodness, we had junior high basketball coaches that would try to run us until we quit, and they told us they'd do that on purpose. You've absolutely got to build up mental toughness, and this is the time to do it.
Well, and also, I do think this is something that is different from a year ago. I mean, this is almost old school because of the – the lack of a portal window after spring. And so you've got to decide, like, all right, well, we can't give up on this guy and like, cause, and just like ask him to leave after spring. Like, this is who we got.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to have the decision as coaches of what tactic do we want to have to get the most out of this guy? We can't go get another corner. We need this guy. And so we'll see how it, I mean, look, it's not a secret. Right, like everybody's aware that, like, oh, it's been a tough outing for Shamar. No, Golish called him out last Friday.
Yeah,
he listed every other corner in the room, and I'm like, is he going to get to Shamar? Like, when is that coming? And he's like, yeah, he's been been inconsistent. When he's good, he's really good. When it's bad, like, those are things we got to have a conversation about. Then he talks about how he needs to get more mature and be more consistent. So it's like, all right, do you care? Do you care that everyone that's following Auburn has any sort of, like, you know, differing negative opinions on what you've done so far this spring? Like, do you care? Do you care? And how do you respond from that?
And I thought he said something, maybe it was to you in your interview with him a week or two ago, but like, having no post-spring portal period means you can't make roster decisions after the spring. So
he said that last Friday.
Yeah.
The presser. Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was. You have to coach differently. If there's a guy on your team that's not quite coming along, then no longer is it an option to encourage him to go elsewhere. You've got to coach. You've got to find the thing as a coach that will spark with that guy. So that's what they're trying. Reverend Barn Booster.
Yeah. We'll wrap up with this. I got a thing I got to go to.
Okay.
The Rev says, observation on AG's mentality to get Auburn back to winning. The optimism around Golish isn't just fan hype. It's rooted in structure, clarity, and identity. Or in Auburn terms, for once there seems to be a plan, the Reverend.
I think Reverend needs to start writing for ChatGPT. That was excellent. That was well stated.
I think so.
I feel like
we all agree it's different.
Yep.
And the things that are different point to things being better.
Yeah.
But until it happens, it's just speculation. But the Rev, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And thank you for supporting the channel. We appreciate that.
Thank
too.
You so much, Reverend. He said something, Golish said something very early about confidence. And it's individual players and applies to him too and his coaching staff. You carry yourself with an earned confidence. All right.
Yeah.
Not just hope. Not just kind of a baseless hope, but an earned confidence. And that's what we're seeing from these guys. They've earned it from what they've done elsewhere. Now they're just trying to transfer that here.
All right, let me leave y'all with this. The fifth best beverage is chocolate milk. The fourth best beverage is orange juice with pulp.
With pulp.
The third best beverage is coffee.
Sure.
The second best beverage is C4 Hawaiian Punch. And then that first sip of Diet Coke has you feeling like you control everything and you're in paradise. So there we go. I think that does it for today's show.
Thank you so much, everybody, for being here and a part of this live show. It's so much. It's so enjoyable every Friday. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.